epistle lesson today is from 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, Lord, we give you thanks and praise today for your holy word, and we ask, Lord, that you would be in our hearts and minds, because we know that you are here in this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Adam Hamilton is a Methodist pastor, and he wrote a book called Enough: Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity. And in that book, he mentions a story about a young man who is changing the world through his generosity. And it's really a story about finding that real life that Paul is talking about. His name is Jeff Hansen. He was born in 1993. And he calls himself a philanthropic artist. He's from Overland Park, Kansas. Now, Jeff is legally blind. He was blinded from an optic nerve tumor associated with a genetic condition called neurofibromatosis. And this tumor caused such severe vision loss, and he had to have chemo and radiation. But despite this low vision, he can still see well enough to create brilliant artwork. In fact, you should get on the internet and look up jeffreyowenhansen.com. He calls his artwork a sight for sore eyes. It is so colorful and brilliant, and he especially loves the color purple. And as a response to his disease, he says that he has decided to focus on what he can do and not what he can't do. He can't drive a car, but he can apply paint to a canvas. Life, according to Jeffrey Hansen, is about all the lessons we learn. He says, live your life with a purpose. Don't ever let a disease define you, and be generous, because generosity is contagious. In fact, the most amazing thing about his story is his generosity. He believes in always giving to others first from the proceeds of his art. In fact, he gives so much to the Children's Tumor Foundation through his art and to many other causes. A few years ago, he started a campaign called 1 Million by 20. And what he meant was giving away $1 million by the time he turned 20 years old. He did that by the time he turned 19. At 19, his artwork had generated $1 million for charity, and every dollar of that he gave away. His works hang across the globe in all kinds of homes, and many people call this art that he does philanthropy first. But it's really about more than just philanthropy. He has inspired so many others to become generous. He has a choice before him. He could have lived his life thinking each day about what he cannot do, about what he does not have. And instead, he lives for what he can do, and he believes in giving first, the first of his profits, to many in need. It's a thriving business. And I wonder what our lives would be like if we lived like that, giving first, not worrying about what we can't do, but focusing entirely on what we can do, what we can give I mean, isn't that our Christian call? To give first to God, to tithe first from what we've received, to live in joy over our blessings instead of worrying or complaining about what we don't have. We're called to that kind of real life. We are called to give first of what we've received from God so that we can find that real life. Paul's words are words to us. We are to do good. We are to be rich in good works and generous and ready to share and storing up that eternal foundation. We are to take hold of the life that really is life. What does that mean to you when you hear it? What is real life to you? What does it mean to you to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share? What does it mean to you to store up an eternal foundation? And how do you feel when you do those things? How do you feel when you give to God? What kind of joy do you experience? And when have you just been overwhelmed by the joy of giving instead of receiving? I know each year when Carrie is our pie auctioneer at the annual pie auction, I am often overcome with joy and excitement because I know that the money that we raise at that pie auction is changing the lives of all the kids here in this church. I have often cried tears of joy when I hear stories in this church about how giving has truly changed someone's life and transformed them, whether it is right here or on the other side of the world. When has giving brought you great joy? You know, that's what I was asking you to put on those little pieces of bread that we're putting out on the bulletin board, and I still have some of them if you want one. But about why? Why do you give? When do you experience that joy? What amazing things does God do in your life when you show that generosity? And I wonder how often do we think about this in relationship to who our God is? Do we see God as the first and best giver? Do we think about ourselves made in the image of God, the image of a giver, so that when God gives, we too are called and even made to give? God is a giver, we are too. When we come here each week, we come here to receive the nurture and support and encouragement of worship. But the truth is, we also come here to give of ourselves, all that we have and all that we are to God. And we see people up here and all throughout these chairs doing just that. Giving of their musical talents, reading God's word, praying, sharing their stories. Romans 12 says that when we come before God, we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. I really appreciated what Tom and Melissa McGillen had to say last Sunday about how we all have something to give. And giving of ourselves usually stretches us, right? When we give of our time, our talent, our money, it's a stretch. But they said when we stretch ourselves to do that, that's when we grow in our faith. And others around us grow in their faith as well. It all happens when we give. I appreciate what Hap said today about giving and how it's letting go. Think of the joy that comes from just letting go of what we offer to God, knowing that God can do so much more with it than we could ever imagine. Giving is really who we are as Christians, and it all stems from the fact that we have this giver God. We have a creator God who gives us life. We have a Holy Spirit God who gives us direction. We have a Savior God who actually gave us his life on the cross. So our giving comes out of gratitude for that. That amazing God that we have. We also give because we believe something very strange and radical and foreign to the world around us. We give because everything we have doesn't belong to us at all. It all belongs to God. We just take care of it. We're just caretakers. We're just stewards. Now, our human inclination is to really take pride in what we have worked so hard for, in what we have earned, right? But actually, that's not the way that Christians think. That's not the way the Bible talks about what we have. Really, all that we have, God helped us get. We've been able to work and earn only by the grace and mercy of God. God has given us everything. And so because it's all God's, our time, our talent, our money, we want to give to God for God's kingdom. Sherry and Dub in the letter talked about, that went to your homes, talked about how this is all God's. It's not ours. Ken and Becky talked about using our resources for what God is doing in the world. The truth is if you were to read the Bible cover to cover, you would find that message again and again and again, and you would find something interesting about worship as well. A very main element of worship. From the beginning, when Abraham worshiped God through giving, by giving a tenth, a tithe of what he had, all through the stories of people giving their crops, their livestock, their grain, they all gave to God first as an act of worship. Not what was left over, but from the first fruits of the harvest, of what they had. And all throughout the Bible, there's this tradition of giving our very best to God. Our best time, our best talent, our best resources. And isn't that still true today? When we stand up here and help lead worship, when we make an announcement, when we participate in worship, don't we want to give our very best to God? And isn't that how we treat one another? If you love someone, if you really love someone, don't you want to give them the very best that you have to offer? That's what we want to do, right? That's true of our relationship with God. I know that for many people, giving to God feels like a huge sacrifice because it is, but it is also not a huge sacrifice. If we have giving to God as just part of our life, part of our lifestyle, the truth is that we don't really miss it. We don't even know what life is like without giving to God. And if we give of our first and best, that is actually our pathway to joy, not fear and worry about money. Now, fear and worry, that can destroy us, right? But the truth is, we all struggle with it. We all struggle with fear. We can all be afraid when it comes to giving. It's easy for us to think, well, how will I make it if I give generously? But remember what we've talked about these last few weeks. When we give, and we give generously, there's this crazy thing. This is my words, not the Bible's, but it's true. Fuzzy math. God has fuzzy math. God has a different economy. When we give, we are blessed. We don't have less. We have more than enough to be generous and share and store up this eternal foundation. The truth is, when we give, God pours out blessings. In Malachi 3:10, it says this, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing." That's the way God works. That's the divine economy. When we give of ourselves, we're blessed in ways we could never imagine. When we give, we receive the blessing of knowing that we are part of something so much larger and bigger than ourselves. And do you know the number one cure for the fear of giving? It's giving. Sounds crazy, but it's true. When we're scared to give, the very best thing we can do is, as Hap said, let go of it. Give it to God. And there's something powerful about just changing that focus in our minds from what we won't have, from the scarcity, to what God can do through everything we offer of our time, our talent, our money. We all know that if we just live for ourselves day after day after day, that we will never find happiness. But if we give, we find this joy. As Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. When have you experienced that joy? And I bet you wouldn't trade that opportunity and joy for anything, would you? Generosity is a lot like love in another way. Sometimes we don't feel like giving, just like sometimes we don't always feel totally overwhelmed with love. But when we love, the love grows in our hearts. Same with giving. When we give, the joy grows in our hearts. And we remember people. We remember people just like Jeffrey Hansen, who teach us that generosity is contagious, it's powerful, it can change the world. We also remember people like that because each and every one of us in this church is fighting a battle. Some kind of uphill battle. We are all struggling in some way, whether it is body, mind, or spirit. Many of us have mixed feelings about the upcoming holidays, maybe even dread. Even though these are supposed to be times of joy and happiness, but real life makes us feel otherwise, and that's just the truth. Because we have been watching loved ones suffer, or we're missing those who have already gone to heaven, or we're struggling with jobs and marriages and parenting, and sometimes we're barely treading water when we get to church, right? We all face these trials and tribulations, and that's exactly why we need this good news about letting go, about giving, about finding life that really is life. We need to come here and hear that when we give, we can find joy. Isn't that why Christmas, even when it's so hard, isn't that why we find that joy when we pick up that stocking in the foyer and we buy for that needy family? When we hear about that struggling person, maybe in this church or in the community or in the checkout line at the grocery store, and we give, we're blessed through that. We find joy in that, even in the midst of our own pain and struggles. And that giving gets us outside our pain. Jeffrey Hansen could dwell on the fact every day that he can't see. He could be overwhelmed with self-pity, but instead, he gives and finds joy. This is something I've noticed over the years about our brothers and sisters in Malawi who have come to visit us and blessed us. I see a joy in them. I believe that you are from the warm heart of Africa. They may have a different life than we do here in America, but I believe they have found a key to joy. And that key is in realizing the reliance on God for everything and the joy of giving of what they have. Time, talent, money. Every single one of us can do that. We can all make a difference. It doesn't matter if we live in Oklahoma or Africa. All of us have this living, loving God, and we can all give because we have all received so much from God, and that is real life. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel for you today. May we all discover that joy of generosity. May we all do good. Be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, storing up the treasure of a foundation for the future so that we may take hold of life that really is life. And to that, all God's people say, amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.